This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. More information after the midpoint break. PAX East was last week, and I talk about what the show was like and some of the things I saw, as well as airing an interview with Nathan Fouts of Mommy's Best Games to talk about Serious Sam Double D 2XL. Tonight is March 31st, 2013, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Happy Easter, or Elite Eight Elimination Day, whichever one is you. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a refreshed edition, I guess. It's been a while, of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. You're joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network. Head on over to our chat room, live.vognetwork.com. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night, as well as you can check in on the site. You can check in live if you are logged into the site, just like SSJ100 Matt and Sky. Rob Roberts actually getting in. Let's see, it went up, and then SSJ100 Matt was 8 seconds later. Sky was 1 second after Matt. And so guys, got to get on your game. I turned it on at different points during the intro. It's kind of interesting. Or if you're listening to us in the podcast feed, there will be a passphrase somewhere in the episode that you will be able to use to check in. And then you can get the same amount of points and hopefully soon loot and stuff, which we haven't done yet, but it's coming soon. Soon, TM. Valve time. We're on Valve time on that stuff. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Skype line is Bobby Blackwolf Show, that is all one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can contact me on my website, bobbyblackwolf.com. So, couple people. I wanted to let people know that we actually, because this is, has absolutely nothing to do with the show, but it is gaming. If you have a 3DS, we do have a 3DS friend code thread, and we put in, and if you want pictures of cats through Swapnote, you can actually sign up in the thread. And apparently, I sent out a Swapnote last night, and nobody got it, and it was a picture of my cat welcoming everybody who had recently gotten 3DSs in the past week, because we do have a few people who have recently finally gotten a 3DS. And they're not receiving my cat pictures for some reason. And I sent one. Oh, jeez. So, there is a thread. You can actually get friends there. Add your number to the thread. We'll all add you. And I will try to send you cat pictures that you will never see. PAX East was this week, last weekend. Obviously, I lied when I said I was going to do a show with some interviews. Because I didn't. And so, but there were only 5 interviews that I did at the show floor, so I'm just going to do them for the next 5 weeks. So tonight we are going to have, during the midpoint break, is going to be Nathan Fouts of Mommy's Best Games. He was on the show before, many, many years ago, back when his first independent game came out, Weapon of Choice. It was on the Xbox Live Indie Games. It was one of the launch titles of the XNA Marketplace, which is what it was called at the time. And we talk a little bit about what he's been doing now and some of his philosophies, talking about the game, working in XNA, and Fox News. So we'll get into that. That's going to be at the midpoint break. It's a short one. I do have 4 other interviews that I'm going to be playing throughout the next couple weeks. So I did not get interviews with everybody that was in the thread, unfortunately, just because of the way PAX is. A lot of them, they were the only person in the booth, and there were other people, so they couldn't really take time out to come do a radio interview. But we may have them on in the future. And most of the interviews actually were stuff that were not on the show floor, so you could have only seen them if you... knew the right people. Hint, hint. So, but PAX East was last week. First time I've gone to a out-of-state gaming event in quite some time, since I got rejected from E3 last year and didn't do any PAXes or anything like that. And PAX East, I can see why PAX East is considered the real PAX. Being at PAX Prime, I've done three PAX Primes back before they were called PAX Prime, and just seeing that convention center in the space that they have, and they filled out that convention center, and then seeing this one that they're in Boston, I can definitely see why they consider this one the real PAX East, or the real PAX, which I'm sure makes all the West Coasters really proud. The thing about PAX East, and the thing about PAX in general, is that it is a convention celebrating the culture around gaming. It's not a convention celebrating gaming, okay? It's not a game. It's a gaming culture convention. It's about the culture. It's about you. It's about your community. It's about the people you play with. And I had a really interesting. I listened to Critical Myth, one of our other shows, and John, who runs that show, pretty much, he went to PAX East, and he's not a huge gamer. I mean, he's a casual gamer. He enjoys games. He appreciates them and everything. But he got bored kind of at PAX East. He had seen everything he wanted to see by the middle of the second day. And he was like, I may not even go the third day. Whereas me, I ran out of time. And I think if you go expecting an E3-like experience, or you know, because I tell people all the time, PAX is what people who've never been to E3 think E3 is like. But really, it's if you go and just act like it's like E3, you're going to come away disappointed, because that's not everything PAX has to offer. And it was kind of interesting. I was actually on a podcast, the Electric Sisterhood. They did a roundtable podcast with the Boston Bastard Brigade and a bunch of other big-name podcasters that have been around for quite some time. And they basically did their PAX, what did we see at PAX, wrap-up, and they covered it exactly the same way they covered E3. They did not even really mention anything that wasn't a video game being shown on the show floor by a AAA. Well, I mean, they talk about some indie games, but if it wasn't a video game shown on the expo floor, it didn't exist. And that's a real disservice to what PAX is. You know, PAX is open until like 1:30 in the morning, and they've got concerts at night. They've got the free play rooms. I mean, I almost cried when I saw this, because this was just so beautiful. They had 12 fully functional, as in all the buttons, all the lights, all the pedals, everything worked, Steel Battalion controllers. 12 of them. 8 of them were system linked together, and they were having death matches, and then they had 4 off on the side that were playing the single player of the original game. It made me want to set mine up, because I still have one of the original models, the green lights. That's how you can tell if it's an original model or not. Everything still works. I'm thinking about pulling it out and setting it up in front of my TV, just because it was so beautiful when I saw it. And just actually seeing them in use. And they had an enforcer that played the part beautifully of the drill commander. You know, basically barking out orders, telling you how to play and everything, because, you know, it has the full boot-up sequence, like the 9-thing boot-up sequence, walks you all through that. It's basically, they teach you how to play, and then you play. And it was just, it was great. Like, that seeing stuff like that is really what I think the heart of PAX is, not standing in line to see Watch Dogs or Assassin's Creed 4 or anything like that. It was that type of stuff. Or I went into the classic console free play room, and you know, they had a fully working Commodore 64 with actual working 5 1/4-inch floppy drives that had not been demagnetized. So you could actually stick them in to the drive and type load quote star quote *8, 1 run and actually play the game. And they had an old Atari, and they had like an old Intellivision that nobody was using because it's forever alone because it's the Intellivision. Nobody cares about it, and I don't know why. And it was just walking through there and just seeing, even though I didn't really get to play because there was a long line, and except I probably could have walked right up to play the Intellivision, but because it's forever alone, and I don't know why. But just walking through there and just having that wave of nostalgia and being able to share it with like-minded people if other people went in there with me. That's really the heart of PAX. Not going over and standing in line for 6 hours to play DuckTales Remastered, which we're going to get into in a second. But that's really what PAX is about. And if that's not really what you're going there for, you might get bored. You know, if you're going to say, oh, this is E3, I'm going to go see the latest and greatest games, you're going to be able to see all those in about a day and a half. So really, it's best with the community. And it's best with friends, if people you've met online or going with people. And going in, and it has a huge board and card gaming room where you could sit and play board and card games. Mostly Cards Against Humanity is what people play. But they, what they do that's different from Dragon Con, which is I stay in that board and card gaming room at Dragon Con, and I play a lot of games down there, is not only can you check out games, which is what they, what a lot of cons do, is you can check out a board game and stuff, and they mark, like, they take your ID or do something to make sure you give it back. But you can go in, and there were vendors. Or not just vendors, but also the game makers themselves, these people that make these niche card games. They show up, and they have tables outside of their booth, and they're like, hey, you want to come in and play this game? And you sit down, it's one of the guys that made the game is walking you and a couple other people through the game. And then if you like the game, you could buy it straight from them. I did that with a card game. It triggered my PTSD. We've talked a little bit on the show about how I was from 2002 to 2004, I was one of the forum moderator. I was actually the forum moderator at the time for the G4 television network. And so that involved having to, you know, lock threads and ban people for breaking a lot of rules that I didn't agree with. But I put a whole thing on the site about my time there. But there was a card game there that triggered my PTSD. It's called Flame War, and it's from funto11.com, I believe, is the website. I don't have it right in front of me, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was. And basically, it's a card game where you are a forum moderator trying to close successful threads. And your offensive cards against other players is you're trying to flame their threads. And they have Twitter references and internet references. One of the flame cards is a pony card, so I know ACT-EFT is going to love it already. It launched my PTSD, and I played it and had a lot of fun with it and immediately bought it. And so now I'm waiting to get together with my friends to play it. And it's just, there's stuff like that, like hidden in nooks and crannies all around PAX. And, you know, I could have gone and sat at one of the tables and played with other people and stuff. So it's really a celebration of the culture of gaming. SSJ100 Matt, who I actually met there, Bobby is hitting the nail right on the head about his views on PAX. And Gamer says, so this is a game where you play as Bobby Blackwolf. Yes, it was. It triggered my PTSD. That was my PTSD moment, and I bought it. And one of the cards in there is the Banhammer, and that's what a lot of people call it. And they had a shirt that had the Banhammer. And so anybody that was around in those G4 times, I did buy that shirt. So I now actually have a Banhammer T-shirt just for you guys. Gangru says, I can tell you why, about the Intellivision being forever alone. The Intellivision games kind of suck compared to the 2600. I did have a compilation of Intellivision games on the PS1 at one point, and I'm sorry, they just weren't really fun. You're breaking my heart, Gangru. That was my console growing up. We didn't have a 2600. My brother, who's older than I was, he made the purchasing decisions in the family, and he actually believed those George Plimpton ads where they showed, you know, once you compare, you'll know, and it's got, you know, they had like 2600 baseball, and then they had Intellivision baseball, and my favorite game as a four-year-old, you ready for this, guys? My favorite game as a four-year-old playing on that system was Frogbok. Go look it up. It was fun as hell. I loved it. It was four. Probably doesn't translate the same on a PlayStation 1 when you're not using the actual gamepad and the number pad and the dial that thankfully no other console other than the ColecoVision even came close to, that was my game. Frogbog. I will beat you in Frogbog. Let's meet at PAX East next year and we'll play Frogbog in the classic room. SJ100 Matt says, there's still some feels of it being a very corporate-based con, but they did give a lot of space dedicated to indie people. And that's the other thing about this PAX East, was that this was the first PAX that I went to that was actually a corporate-run show. The PAXes I went to in Seattle before they were called PAX Prime were independently run. They were actually run by the Penny Arcade people. And even Gabe and Tycho will tell you that, you know, they're not very good at running cons. They're very good at surrounding themselves with people who are good at whatever they want to do. And that's how they do the Child's Play charity and all that stuff. The two of them are not good at the actual day-to-day stuff, but they are very good at surrounding themselves with people to do it. And when they launched PAX East, they actually worked with a convention corporation that actually puts on these type of conventions, and this is one of their biggest conventions that they put on. And so it is a little bit less of a fan type event. It did feel a little bit more corporate, although it did have the Gabe and Tycho kind of trappings of, you know, the way they believe things should be run. But you could tell, you know, it was more corporate. You know, there were bigger E3 style booths than I remember at PAX in the past. And one thing was interesting is, from what I understand, Gabe and Tycho, they only had like speaker or professional badges. They did not have an all access badge to their own con anymore. It's because it's not their con. It uses their name, but this isn't the same convention I went to in 2007 and 2008. It's gotten a lot more strict. Like, I wasn't even there as media. And one of the things that's interesting is one of the things that they do at PAX is, with regards to media, is they have this table outside of the room called the podcaster table. And basically it's a table where podcasters can sit and do interviews outside of the normal press room. And, you know, if they have other people that are listening, they can actually listen in and stuff like that. And that's a feature that podcasters with a press badge can use. And to anybody that was media at PAX East and got to use that, or any of the other PAX, you're welcome, because that was my thing that I started with them in 2007. And that's one of the traditions that have carried over, and I was not allowed to use that table this year, even though that's kind of my table. So you're welcome to anybody who used that table, because that's my legacy on PAX. Hopefully I'll be able to get in as media next year, because I definitely do want to go back to PAX East next year. So some of the games that I saw on the show, some of them we're going to have interviews on. So I'm going to save some of them for talking about them when we actually do air those interviews, because some of them weren't even on the show floor. And I will tell you now, my game of show, if you want to call it that, of all the games that I played, and I didn't play that many games, but of all the games I saw, Transistor, that's by Supergiant Games, that's Bastion, that was the last thing I played. After I played that, I had to go to the airport and get home. But I was able to get in and play the 15-minute demo of Transistor, which plays like Bastion, somewhat. Except it looks like Bastion, even sounds like Bastion, has the same voice actor, Logan Cunningham, but he's definitely playing a different voice, but it's the same guy. Different voice, different attitude. And it has a lot of the same elements of Bastion, where, you know, Logan Cunningham's talking to you the entire game, whereas in Bastion, he was the narrator narrating your adventure. In this, he plays as your sword, and he is the voice of your sword talking to you, and that's how he tells you where to go and points you in the right direction. You are a mute girl, because all good video game heroes apparently are mute. Thank you, Gordon Freeman, for that. And you can stop time and cue up your actions. So there's the hack and slash element, obviously, but you can also stop time and cue up actions, and then you do them. And that's kind of the main gameplay element that it looked like that they added into this that really wasn't in Bastion, at least as far as I got in Bastion. I didn't complete Bastion, but I also didn't review it, so it's okay. I want to. It's in my Steam backlog. It's that Steam pile of shame. Bastion's in there. But really, I was very excited to see more when I was done with the demo. So kudos to them. Transistor is definitely going to be the game to look forward to. A lot of people are saying that it should have been DuckTales Remastered, because obviously the moon music is very near and dear to our hearts. Capcom, I didn't think that Capcom could mess it up, but they did. I didn't get to play it because there was only one copy in the entire state of Massachusetts of DuckTales Remastered, and it was a 7-minute demo. And like the line would go like just a little tiny bit around the corner, and it would be capped because it's already 4 hours long. So, and they had no other copies. There was no other kiosk anywhere that press could go in and see it. They were bringing more to GDC, so press that went to GDC were able to play it and see it behind closed doors there. But it looks pretty. And I don't know. They had it was the Transylvania level was the demo. I'm sure there's a billion videos because they were allowing people to take videos of the screen. So you can probably find the entire demo online and watch someone else play it. But it looks pretty. But I couldn't believe they messed that up. They announced two games during their World of Capcom panel. They announced that and then a Dungeons & Dragons arcade game remastered. And nobody was playing the Dungeons & Dragons one. They decided they were going to put the two kiosks right next to each other, and they underestimated DuckTales. And I even asked the lady at Capcom that was there watching the booth, I'm like, so why do you only have one kiosk there? And she just gave me this look. Like, I can't believe you asked me that. Now, granted, it had only been unveiled like an hour before, so it's not like everybody had been asking her that yet, or if it wasn't that many. And I was like, that's the million-dollar question. She's like, yes, That is the million-dollar question. I have no clue why. Like, she was upset at the people above her for only allocating one kiosk to this game. Good job, Capcom. The trailer I heard was, like, really went over really well. Unfortunately, you can't find a video of them unveiling it the first time. They played it a second time, and that's the video that's up on YouTube where everybody sings along to the DuckTales theme. Apparently, it blew the roof off the place the first time they played it, and nobody was prepared for it. And I wonder if there was a Capcom exec going in there going, I wish we brought more than one copy. Breakman in chat says about Transistor, the sword talks to him, her, actually. I think she needs to stop doing acid before she tries to save the world. That's probably part of the game. The game is a whole acid trip. It really is. At least the demo I played, it was weird. It was a good kind of weird. Another game I got to see, Saints Row 4. I knew I was going to get to see this because it was an unannounced Volition game when I booked the appointment. And hey, you know, we all knew what it was. Because Deep Silver now has it, and I actually do have a good relationship with Deep Silver and their PR team, which is great. They're a wonderful PR team. So I got in, and the way that they did it the right way for a consumer-based convention at PAX. A lot of times, like at E3, what you'll have is, if it's like a demo or something, they have a line that you stand in, but people who have appointments get in before you and they take up seats. And so whatever is not taken up by appointments, then they let other people in. Well, what they did instead, since it was just a video, and it was clearly a video, I know like when Saints Row the Third was shown 2 years ago, people were like, nobody knew it was a video. Well, they clearly made it, you saw the Windows Media Player screen, and they restarted the video. And then, so you clearly knew it was a video. It was not live gameplay. It was pre-recorded. And since it was just a video, they had the line in the show floor, but they also had this suite in the Westin, the hotel right across, where that's where all the appointments were. So we weren't taking up any seats from the regular attendees that were standing in line. Plus, we had a 30-minute window where the video is only 10 minutes, which means we had 20 minutes worth of questions and answers. So I got to see the video, which of Saints Row 4, where you're the president of the United States, which get abducted by aliens into a Matrix-like virtual environment, and you have a dubstep gun, and that's pretty much all you really need to know from the video, is that you have that and you have a dubstep gun, and you can customize your guns. And they showed a rocket launcher where you could change the look of the rocket launcher so it looks like a guitar case, or they actually scrolled past it, and on the video, they keep it there just long enough so you realize what it is, and then they flip away, and the narration makes no mention of it because they do a live narration over it. And you can actually tell it turns it into the Super Scope 6 from the Super Nintendo days. So you could actually be running around with a big Super Nintendo controller, the Super Scope, as your rocket launcher in Saints Row 4. So they've got a lot of stuff in there. With that, the dubstep gun, basically, it actually does have a tactical purpose. It freezes everybody. So you fire it into an intersection, all the cars stop and start bouncing, and everybody starts dancing, and then you can go through and, while they're frozen, do things, kill them or run away or whatever. But they didn't really show much more other than that. During some of the stuff that I remember from the question and answer session is that this is kind of, this was in development. Saints Row 4 was in development before Saints Row 3 was even finished. So they were starting to develop it, and that's why they've got better lighting and a lot of better stuff in the engine, because they kind of started before they were even done with Saints Row 3. This does include some elements from the canceled Enter the Dominatrix DLC from Saints Row 3, especially the virtual environments and stuff like that. And they really needed to have the virtual environment to add some of the stuff, because you get superpowers, so you can actually start like running around like it's Crackdown. So it turns it into Crackdown a little bit for you. They did not confirm or deny or anything about GPD making a return, because he was the charity winner, and they did not say that they were going to. They did not know if they were going to do any more charity thing to become a friend that you could call a homie. I think yeah, it's a homie in the game, a homie that you could call to bring in, There were a lot of other questions asked, and I unfortunately don't remember all of them because they weren't all that memorable. They've probably all been answered by now on like the big name websites that probably had the same questions. Somebody did ask why they didn't go with Saints Row Faux instead of Saints Row 4, and they said that it was already over the top a little bit too much. So since it was already over the top, they didn't want to make the name even more over the top. Rob Roberts in chat says, I'm not sure. He doesn't seem to be too thrilled about the Enter the Dominatrix connection, but I don't get it. They've been pretty clear that it's a new game. This is a new game. They said that this was a totally different game, but it was incorporating aspects of the DLC that, because of the THQ sale, they weren't really, you know, THQ's management had a little bit different philosophy on the DLC than Deep Silver. And so Deep Silver has actually given them a lot more of a carte blanche, do whatever you want, than THQ did. And so I think that's why they're rolling in. Instead of working on that DLC, they said, we're going to stop working on the DLC and just incorporate some of the best elements into this game and make this game that much better. That's kind of the way that they phrased it when somebody asked. So the last game that I'm going to talk about, and then I'm going to play the interview, and then we'll probably take some calls. This is a game, unfortunately, I saw it at the very end, and they were not interested in doing an interview with press. They were so tired. It was like Sunday at 2, and they're like, well, you're not press, even though I was, but I only had a three-day badge. I may want to get them on the show soon, because this is an amazing concept, and now that I've even read up more about it, I definitely want to play this. It's been around for a little while, but you may have not heard of it. It's a very hardcore, and it's not even really a PC game. But it's called Artemis Spaceship Bridge Simulator, and I talked about this a little bit on Orange Lounge Radio last week, because I called in literally like 5 minutes after I got home from the airport. Artemis Spaceship Bridge Simulator is it's a live-action role-playing game that uses a PC game as the conduit for the LARPing. Has it scared you away yet? So essentially, the way basically, you are piloting a starship, and the game is meant to be played everybody in the same room with their own laptops or iPads or whatever. And you have a captain, a helmsman, a weapons officer, a communications officer, and a science officer. And the helmsman, weapons, communication, and science officer, they have their own PCs. They have their own consoles, and they have they can have, like, the helmsman can have a joystick and stuff, and they can, you know, do things. And then you have one computer that's your server, and that's your main screen. And so you're supposed to put that up on a projector on a large TV. And the captain sits around everybody with no computer. So the captain's just sitting there, and basically you are role playing out being on a starship and defending stations from attacking ships. And so you have to, you know, talk to the comm officer to see, you know, so the captain has to ask the comm officer, okay, you know, oh, is there somebody in distress? The comm officer will say, yes, station DS-1 is in distress. And so the captain will say, okay, helmsman, set a course for DS-1 and, you know, warp factor whatever, and then they go. And then, you know, the science officer will say, okay, their shield level is level D. And so then the captain would then tell the weapons officer to make shield, you know, phaser set to level D to penetrate the shields, and then tell them when to fire and all that stuff. And the captain, like I said, has no computer. So he has to rely on telling everybody else what to do. And it was such an amazing concept, and it was really fun watching it at PAX. And then I even saw some YouTube videos where some people, like, turn their office into a bridge, and even, like, start wearing, like, Star Trek type stuff. And it looks like it'd be a really interesting experience for people that would really get into it. And the great thing is, it's they don't like DRM. So the way it works is that you can actually buy one copy of the game for $40 for the PC. And that's your bridge license, and you can actually give it to your other friends. So they can be on your bridge. If they want to make their own bridge, they ask that, you know, it's honor system, please buy your own copy of it. But they also have an iPhone and iPad app for $2.99, and that will go in. So, like, you could actually just have one person that has a computer, and everybody else, if they have iPads or iPhones, they can have their station on the iPhone or iPad and still be playing in the same room. It was not that, from everything I've read, because I didn't get a chance to play it, is that it could have been a lot more complicated, but the guy that made it specifically made it not complicated, so there would be more role-playing. You're not always looking at the screen. Everything's quick. Everything's kind of simplistic, just to facilitate the live-action role-playing that's there. There is internet mode. You can actually play it online over Ventrilo and stuff like that. It's not matchmaking, so you basically already have to have the friends to do it. But that's not the way it's meant to be played. It's really meant to be played in like a LAN party environment or something like that. That was probably one of the most unique things I saw at PAX East, was Artemis Spaceship Bridge Simulator. Game Brewer says, do I have to wear a Starfleet uniform in Vulcaneers to play this? Yes, you do. You do. Dungeon Buster says, reminds me of a super updated version of Star Trek Bridge Commander. That's probably what it this is the Star Trek game we've all been waiting for. It's just not called Star Trek, for obvious reasons. So we're going to go ahead and play the interview that I had tonight. And this is with Mommy's Best Games, Nathan Fouts. You probably remember him. We had him on before. He's talking about Serious Sam. This is going to be a quick one. Then we'll take your calls. You're participating here with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Fork Parker told me had women, scores of women, that he was going to share with me. He's the CEO of Devolver Digital, and I found Nathan Fouts instead. We haven't spoken to him since November 30th, 2008, episode 174. It's a long time ago. How you doing, Nathan?
I'm doing great. Good to see you again.
So you are here showing off Serious Sam
XXL.
Double D XXL. Nathan, why does this game not suck?
This game doesn't suck because when any game that lets you stack your guns up to six high is amazing.
Six high guns. There were a lot of stacking. This is a Steam game. It is now on Xbox Live Arcade.
Yes, it was originally on Steam a couple years ago, and we've made a bunch of improvements like co-op and more guns to it for the Xbox Live Arcade release. Just came out. It's 800 Microsoft points.
800 space bucks. You can get this. What all really is different? You said the co-op, but did you add other content to the Xbox Live release?
Right. Originally, there was only 8 gun types. Now there's 40 gun types. There's basically 32 upgrades you can apply. And it really expands the gun stacker. There's also every single level got new content. And there's 3 new vehicle levels. And there's more basically revised challenges. So there's a bunch of content.
So Serious Sam, it's usually been this over-the-top first-person shooter. Why are they, releasing this that's more of a side-scroller?
Well, they were promoting Serious Sam 3 BFE a little while ago. And they asked us, they loved Weapon of Choice from years ago, and they wanted a co-op Contra-style version of Serious Sam. And that's when we came up with the idea of doing Double D and doing the Gunstacker system.
And Serious Sam, it's an established franchise way over the top. What was it like adding to that canon a little bit with some of the stuff you added here?
It was like a dream come true. I mean, I love goofy violence. It's kind of a weird niche thing. But we actually worked out like really well as a team between Mommy's Best and Serious Sam Crow Team and everything.
Now, you brought up Weapon of Choice because that's actually the first time you were on my show. You had just released Weapon of Choice on the XNA Marketplace, which became the Xbox Live Indie Games. And, we were a little critical then about, the pricing structure as well. Here we are all these years later. Microsoft killed it. Do you have any eulogy or anything that looking back now, knowing now what you know?
Well, I mean, I loved XNA. It's been an amazing development suite to work with. The fact that it cracks open the Xbox and gives you, anybody, a retail Xbox, you can make games for it, it's incredible. I mean, and the indie system is fine. It's flawed, but it's fine. It's a real shame they stopped XNA, and I hope they can do something going forward with it on the new system.
Do you think this is a way for Sony to get in because they're really pushing indies for the Vita and stuff like that? Do you think this is an opportunity for Sony to come in and kind of court these smaller developers like this?
I mean, if they're smart, I hope so. I hope they go for it. There's a ton of indie interest right now, so I think they've got a good chance of doing it.
Now, speaking of the XNA framework, was this built in XNA?
Yeah, Serious Sam Double D XXL is built on XNA and then moved over to XBLA. It is XNA.
So I was just wondering, like, what's really the difference? Like, let's say somebody did start in XNA. I mean, now, unfortunately, XNA is not going to be in the picture in a couple of years when the new Xbox comes out. But going from XNA to actually working on retail Xbox code, how much of a jump is it, or was it really the big step into the industry that we all thought it would be?
It's the code-wise, it's not too bad. The hard part is dealing with the certification process, which is really difficult. basically making sure that the game looks like it fits in with XBLA games and follows their standards. And then also the testing process was in depth.
So another thing, you know, about the industry, because you're pretty outspoken as well, and you've written some things. You actually wrote a Gamma Sutra blog saying, it's called Let's Try No Violence. And it was basically saying, hey, maybe we should, you know, what would happen if us in the industry didn't make violent games? And I look at this game and I look at Weapon of Choice and I wonder, how would you survive not being able to make a violent video game?
I might make something like Pig Eat Ball, which is our next game. It has little space pigs that fly around and eat tennis balls, and it turns out to be really, really fun. I love violence in video games. I just thought, like, just what if we could get some of the most inspired minds that do the Call of Duties and everything, and what would they make if they weren't making Call of Duty? What would they make? Would they make Farmville? Or would they make something wholly original we've never played? Would they make a Journey-style game that's really interesting and get more people outside of the industry that are excited about it and say, hey, video games contribute to culture beyond video, beyond guns. Maybe it'd be good.
And what's interesting is that blog article got the attention of one of the journalists over at Fox News, and I start seeing your quotes in multiple different articles about Assassin's Creed and violent video games. Was that just like one interview and they're just pulling out all these quotes or something?
They interviewed me a couple different times. It's been great to talk to them. They're not nearly as evil as you think. They're mostly evil, just not 100%. No, Fox News is great. And, yeah, it was good talking to them. And they kind of – it was great to try to help set the record straight because they're honestly trying to understand video games. And it's good to just kind of say, look, there's a – I try to communicate that there's a breadth to games. Even says the guy making the game with the gun stacker. Sorry, but I mean, I tried to say, like for the Assassin's Creed article, they didn't know what was in it, and I just, you know, I said, look, it's not the most violent thing you've ever heard of. Like, they were worried that it's the most violent game ever because King George Washington is evil. And I'm like, look, guys, the violence is on par with everything else. It's just, you know, it's just a different thing. It's not nearly as bad as you think. So, yeah, it was fun working with them. It was nice.
So they've got you on speed dial, or are you their game guy?
I don't know about that, but when they write, I talk to them. I'll call them on the phone, yeah. It's good.
So you've got the Pigs Eating Balls game. Is that the next thing you're working on?
Pig Eat Ball is our next game after this. Yeah, it's a 1-4-player co-op game. It's great in a party setting. It's hilarious. Basically, you try to suck up the balls before your friend, or you can bump them in the tail and make them spit it out. So you get into these little mini fights, and you can try to cooperate some or fight. It's amazing. We're going to probably do that on the Ouya, but we're also looking to do it on PC, XNA, a whole bunch of different other places.
Mommy'sBestGames.com is the website.
That's the place to go.
Thank you so much for spending some time with me. And now, if you see Fork, tell him I'm still waiting on the women.
He knows where they're at. Thanks.
Fork Parker, the CFO of Devolver Digital. I'm still waiting on the women. Maybe if I promote your game, you'll send it. Because I know you have a harem, Fork. I know you do. So thank you very much to Nathan Fouts for that interview. Serious Sam, Double D2 XL, side scroller, kind of like metal. He loves the Metal Slug game, so it kind of plays like a Metal Slug game, but you can have six guns stacked on top of each other. Breakman's already off to go buy it. It's available now. 800 space bucks on Xbox Live Arcade. Not any game. It's on Arcade. Or it's available on Steam. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. You can get that 30-day free trial, get a free audiobook, and that's yours to keep even if you cancel before the trial is over. There's a whole bunch of, I think, like over a million audiobooks. Whole bunch. You can make any of those your free audiobook. All you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/BobbyBlackWolf. And before we open up the phones, I did get a very concerned voicemail. It's very concerned by somebody who you'll probably hear from again tonight. I don't know. Very concerned voicemail. So I'm going to play this voicemail for you right now.
Hey, Bobby. This is Breakman, and I'm calling because I'm a little concerned. I turned on Xbox Live the other day, and I saw your gamer tag, and you weren't playing the usual, like your usual favorites. It wasn't Netflix, so that had me concerned, but it was a shooter. So I know it couldn't have been you, but yeah, I wanted to call and let you know it sucks. I'm sorry. Hope you get it back and you catch the thieves. playing Bioshock on your Xbox. Later, Bobby.
See, he's all concerned because obviously it's, you know, he basically thinks that, you know, I'm just not, I wouldn't play a game like this, you know, where you shoot things and you have to dodge things and not die. And you'd think that I wouldn't play something like that. But No Break Man, I did not get hacked. I actually did go to Redbox on Tuesday. And I wandered around the lands of Columbia with the rest of you and said, I've heard that song before. Then I, you know, played the game and died before I got the shield. And I cried. Then I got Elizabeth, and then she started helping me a lot. So yes, I have played Bioshock Infinite. And damn, what a great story and a great setting. That's all I got to say about that. Unfortunately, I did have to take it back to Redbox because it is, you know, $2 a night and stuff. So I kept it for two nights. I kept it twice as long as I kept Modern Warfare 3 when I got that from Redbox. So I did get to play it. I do really like the story and the setting. I probably will eventually pick it up to finish it because I think that the world that they created just is beautiful and compelling, and the story is compelling. I do have a little problem just because I suck in terms of some of the gunplay, especially there's a part where there's these two airships, and I'm not giving away any story, but there's two airships kind of in the idea that the developers want you to do is you got to get on the sky bridge and then you jump onto the airship, preferably hitting the person that has the rocket launcher that's throwing it at you. And I would always get on the sky bridge and it would change, orient my view. And by the time I figured out where I was way far away from them. So hanging back and trying not to die and, you know, when you get the companion character, she'll throw you things, especially on easy. She'll throw you things to help you when, you know, like if you're down low on ammo, she might throw you some ammo. And I'm waiting and waiting and waiting for her to throw me some health because, like, my shield was all the way up, but my health was really, really low. And so I had to really hang back and stuff. But, no, I really did enjoy, believe it or not, playing Bioshock Infinite. And that was actually me. That was not hacked. That was not being hacked. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, sleep. There is a very hard mode in it, and it's a 1999 hardcore mode or something like that. And you can unlock that either by beating the game on any other mode or putting in the Contra code. The phones are now open. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Toll free in North America. You can call in, talk about PAX East or Bioshock Infinite or something like that. If you're wondering, there is no Orange Lounge Radio tonight. I know Rob's in chat. I don't know if we're still going to talk or something. There is no OLR coming up after tonight. They are taking the night off because they're two away from episode 500. But we do have a call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
So, your Xbox wasn't stalling?
No, it wasn't. That was my Xbox. That was on my TV.
I'm confused. You were playing a game with guns?
I've played Portal's a game with guns. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but that's the Portal gun, and I'm sure you'll play Saints Row because it's got the dead step gun. But I'm talking about like machine guns and rocket launchers and stuff.
Yeah, I mean it's not guns on top of guns, but yeah, I didn't buy it. I rented it. I don't have it now. I can't go up and play it now. But Civilization Five has Civilization Five has machine guns and rocket launchers. I played that. I've been playing that all weekend.
You're not in control of the machine guns, though.
I tell them where to fire.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, you're not against killing. You're just against doing it yourself.
I'm against playing a game where I suck at aiming. And there is an aim assist. It's not a great aim assist, I mean, because I still suck. So obviously it's the aim assist's fault and not mine. But the Bioshock games do actually have, like, an auto aim assist for people like me.
Well, yeah, I suck too. So I really like Bioshock because they have the, in the original they had the Vita chambers. I know they do something different now.
Yeah.
I like that.
So have you played this new Bioshock at all?
No. No, I haven't.
Why not?
I'm jealous.
That's your game.
I know.
Do you have a Redbox near you?
But isn't there that new Redbox app on Xbox?
Well, that's for movies.
Oh, it's movies only.
Yeah, it's streaming movies. That's their Netflix Instant competitor, but no. It's $2 a night from Redbox.
I know, but I'd rather just buy it at some point when I have the money.
Good man. No, it's totally worth it. I was worried because we were all talking about, okay, what's going to be the next big disappointment? You know, because we had the string of, you know, Aliens Colonial Marines disappoint a lot of people. You know, SimCity disappointed a lot of people. And, you know, what's next? And I'm like, it's probably going to be BioShock Infinite. Like, something's going to happen with BioShock Infinite. And because it's already been delayed once because it wasn't good enough. And
I like that.
So it was already delayed, and so I was like, they're going to force it out. It's going to come out right before the end of the fiscal quarter or the fiscal year or whatever, and so they're going to try to, you know, force it out, and it's not going to be ready. And I was pleasantly surprised that the fears were unfounded. I really do like this game.
What's that Miyamoto quote? It's the fans will never remember if a game was delayed, but they'll always remember if a game was bad.
Yes. Yeah, it's probably Miyamoto. Because we don't. I mean, I could sit here and rattle off the games that were delayed that nobody remembers were delayed. I mean, Super Smash Bros. Brawl was delayed like a year. Nobody cares anymore. Grand Theft Auto 4 delayed a year. Nobody cares anymore. So
they don't even remember. They just remember that those were good games.
Yeah,
and that's the way it should be, I think. Mm-hmm. I like that they made extra time to make it a good game. I'm happy to hear that because I really like BioShock 1, and I know a lot of people were undecided on BioShock 2 and. Mm-hmm. Whatever, but I had fun with that game. But BioShock 1 was still like amazing storytelling and gunplay together.
And see, I actually have that. I did buy that. Yeah, because he's stunned. That's stunned silence on the other. I mean, I bought it for $5 at that Xbox Live sale like a month ago.
Oh.
But yeah, I actually did buy BioShock 1.
Nice.
I'm playing on easy, of course. Come on. But I actually think I'm farther in BioShock Infinite than I got in BioShock 1. Like, BioShock Infinite's keeping my attention a lot more than BioShock 1 is, and I think it's because I'm not a big fan of, like, horror and scary movies and stuff like that, and BioShock 1's setting is more akin to that, where you're in a dark, damp, desolate place, and then there's jump scares and everything, and I'm not as big of a fan of that. And Infinite is in this outdoor, beautiful, lush, colorful world, and I think that speaks to me more than the first BioShock did. I'm not saying the first BioShock's a bad game at all. If it was a bad game, I wouldn't have bought it. But it's just, right. I think Infinite, I like Infinite more than the first BioShock.
Well, I'm really curious about that because I really like the setting of Rapture, that underwater civilization that just went haywire. So I'm really waiting to see the comparison for myself, you know, between like this daylight, sunshine city with bustling people and stuff.
Yeah.
No, it's really different, but it's a lot of shock, I think.
Yeah. Now, ActDev tells me the horror factor in BioShock is only for the first couple hours of the game, which is where I still am in the game. And then you get used to it. That's great. Gangaru says the quote is probably, quote, a delayed game can be a good game with time. A bad game is a bad game forever, unquote. So I like that quote.
Yeah, that's a good quote.
So.
I mean, and that's true, like you pointed out. But all right, Bobby. I'll hang up and see if anybody else wants to call in.
All right, thanks.
Have a good one.
All right, thank you. So, Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. Like I said, no Orange Lounge Radio tonight. I know Rob's in chat. I don't know if he's currently speaking or if he wants to call in or talk or anything. I don't even know if he has that computer open. Don't know what's going on. We didn't talk. We didn't talk today. You all know why? Here's why. Because Rob today let one of his iPad apps post to Facebook to say that we should all add him so he could get a rare card in some iOS game. So I refused to do that, and I think that's why he's not talking to me, because I wouldn't give him that card. Fifth Dream says, the first one is dark and horrors-like, but Infinite is more disturbing in its own way. And Travis Donovan actually brought in, they delayed it to make it even more slightly racist. That is the one thing that you should know about this game going in. There's no spoilers or anything in this, is that it's set in 1912, and they actually do speak like they're in 1912 and have 1912 sensibilities, especially with regard to race. So just realize that. You know, it's a game set in 1912. And it's supposed to be a utopia. And so imagine what white America in 1912 would have considered a utopia. We do have another call here on the line. Bobby Black will show you are on the air. Who is this?
Daft.
Act Daft. What's going on, man?
Sorry about that. Well, many of us in chat have gotten a 3DS recently. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to ask you if you know any good 3DS games that you can recommend.
Theatrhythm. Theatrhythm and maybe Mario Kart. That's about it.
I did play the demo for Theatrhythm, and it seems like not a ripoff or a clone of Elite Beat Agents, but it looks similar to it. It plays kind of similar.
It looks similar, but doesn't play anything like it.
Yeah, like I said, similar, but not exactly the same, because
right.
It has some elements to it, mm-hmm. but overall, yeah, it plays differently, or
yeah.
somewhat differently.
Well, I mean, at this point, any rhythm game that you make on the 3DS is going to evoke connections to Elite Beat Agents, or DJ Max Technica, or Re-Rave on iOS. I mean, they you can't do a rhythm game with a touchscreen any real differently. So they put their own spin on it, and I really enjoyed it.
Cool. And speaking about Mario Kart, this the last one I played was Mario Kart on DDS, and I like that. It's similar.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. Mario Kart 7. I played it a lot. That was like the game that I played a lot in my 3DS before I got Theatrhythm. So it's a lot of fun. The online works pretty well, even though I get my ass kicked. I enjoyed it.
Well, it's exciting. Any more games you can recommend?
Not really, because I haven't played that many. I mean, I've got Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance, but the core mechanic in that kind of pisses me off, where basically you're playing as two different characters, and it's on a timer. And so when that timer runs out, you jump into the other character, no matter if you're ready or not or anything like that. So, and it's to prevent you from staying with one character a lot. And I'm not a big fan of that mechanic. Other things, I mean, it's a fun little Kingdom Hearts game. I didn't get too far because that one mechanic kind of pissed me off too much. But, I mean, that one's a good one. I haven't played the Pokemon or anything like that on the 3DS. So I really haven't touched that many other games on it.
And downloadable games?
I downloaded like the 3D classics, the Excitebike ones and stuff like that, and I'm an ambassador, so I have a lot of the ROMs, but nothing really. I haven't spent that much money on it. I do have money on it, and it was mainly to buy Theatrhythm songs, so I may buy some downloadable game, but nothing's really jumped out at me yet as to what I'd want to download. Sorry, I'm not much help.
No problem. At least I have some suggestions now to mm-hmm. to get more games in the future. So, and possibly a lot of people that got the Pikachu 3DS XL mm-hmm. last week.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, I know a couple of people got that, and that's why I tried to send Kat things over Swapnote.
Yeah, I didn't get your Swapnote. Did you get mine?
I my 3DS isn't on, so I don't know.
Hmm.
It'll show up.
Okay.
I'll try sending something again. Or I'll try sending it again. All right. Anyway, thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
You too. Thanks.
And Rob says, PSA, Harmonite. Harmonite is out now. You like music games. Actually, I'm just going to call him. I mean, I see them online, so I'm just going to go ahead and call. There's no Orange Lounge Radio tonight, but I've got 5 minutes to kill. And Rob's sitting here telling me about Harmonite or something. So I'm going to call him and just see what it is. So what is this Harmonite thing?
Hi, Bobby. First off, I apologize if I sound different tonight. I'm in the office, not the studio, so my connection's a little different. So sorry if it's bad. Harmonite is the game. It's from the people that make Pokemon, but it's like not a Pokemon game. It's different. It's a music game. I checked out the demo last week, and it's part platform-based music game where you jump and things like that to pick up notes. But the second half of the game, one of the stages, really played like Space Channel 5 to me,
okay. But
in kind of like a shooter-esque environment, which I know doesn't make any sense. But, you know, obviously, they don't want to just blatantly copy some other music game. They're trying to do their own thing. Haven't played the full game yet, but that is out. But I did want to recommend to ActDeft, the download store on 3DS actually has a lot of good stuff. Cave Story, if you haven't checked that out before. Pushmo and Crashmo, if you're really into puzzlers. I think as far as cartridges go, the only one I caught that you didn't mention was Super Mario 3D Land, which I think is an excellent, excellent Mario title that makes really good use of the 3D. I don't know if that came with the Pikachu 3DS. They've been bundling that in a lot lately.
Yeah.
But... So. Fire Emblem, I haven't played it, but a lot of people are fans of that. That's an RPG that just came out. So there's some other games to work
with. And that hardcore RPG that came out from Atlus, that Etrian Odyssey 4.
Yes.
That's like, you know, oh my god, it's cartography and dying a lot.
Oh, I forgot the other download title that's amazing. VVVVVV. Yes. If you had... I imagine Def probably picked that up in one of the Humble Bundle thingies. Yeah. But if you somehow don't have this on your PC, it does have the 3D on the 3DS. It's great. It's worth checking out.
So you coming to PAX East next year?
Sounds like I have to. but I can say Dragon Con is happening for sure. All I really need to do is get the plane ticket to this point. I have the time off work. I got everything else figured out. So I'm really excited to go to Dragon Con as far as conventions go. So that's why I can't go to PAX Prime this year. Right. I really wish they'd figure that stuff out because I'd like to do both of those. But PAX East next year, it really sounds like it's always a case of will I have money?
Yeah.
This year I've been trying to save personally to do a move over the summer. So that's kind of the one thing that's been getting in the way, but that hopefully won't be a factor next year. So
yeah, that's cool. Yeah, and unfortunately, I don't think that they're going to figure that out because PAX Prime used to be on a different weekend, and they moved to Labor Day weekend so they could add the fourth day.
Yeah, which makes sense, but at the same time, it's a bummer for those of us that like both. And I get that technically PAX and Dragon Con are different audiences, but. Then look at the Voice of Geeks Network. We have a lot of crossover people who'd like to do both. You know, you can be a gamer and a everything else nerd too. Doctor Who and role play and all that other stuff they do at Dragon Con.
Yeah, so we're going to be at Dragon Con, and maybe we're probably going to have a panel at Dragon Con. We're definitely, I can't say definitely, we should have a panel at Dragon Con for VOG Network stuff. And, you know, a couple of us old people, and I'm the baby of this group, we're talking about doing, like, an old-timey podcaster panel at PAX.
Oh, wow.
It was, well, you and me and Godfrey and them.
PAX Prime. Yeah. Except we can't really do it.
Yeah, except I'm trying to get them to do PAX East.
Yeah. That would be great.
And I'm the baby of that group. me and my almost 8 years.
I know,
like, the youngin' of that group.
That's something else. There's not a lot of people that have been doing it as long as you. I mean, you could probably count on probably two hands how many podcasts have been around that long, or video game podcasts have been around that long.
Right. Yeah, there were only 50 podcasts when I started in iTunes, like 50 video game podcasts in iTunes. Now there's 5,000, and I'm ranked like 4,800.
And it's a bummer iTunes won't go in there and filter out some of the ones that haven't updated. I mean, I'm all for everybody having exposure, but let's be real. If you haven't updated your podcast in 6 months, you've probably pod faded, and you really need to be bumped out of there, I think.
Yeah. So did you get BioShock Infinite?
I didn't. A lot of friends of mine picked it up and are raving about it. I'm kind of in a similar boat with you. I'm not usually a huge person when it comes to shooters. But it's something I do want to check out. I've been hearing raves about it. $60 though, a little bit tough for me to justify when there's a lot of other stuff right now I want to pick up. So
I did the Redbox thing, and then I've got it now like as the only thing on my Gamefly queue. So if it becomes available, they'll send it to me and I can continue it then. So that's how I'm playing.
I imagine eventually I'll pick it up off the rental service to at least try it out. And, you know, I feel bad that I can't really invest the money and have it go to the developers. But again, it's like $60. It's a stiff cost to take a chance on a game that when I'm not too sure I would be into the genre as great as the game is. I can get a lot of that in this day and age through Let's Play videos and so forth. So
Yeah, this one they did a good job. Like, because I remember we had a conversation, and I said this earlier in the show, is that, you know, we were like, okay, what's going to be the next big disappointment in gaming? And I said BioShock Infinite.
Oops.
And I was – no, I am happily wrong. Like, that is something I will happily be wrong about. I was just setting myself up
exactly
for the disappointment.
Well, there's always that try-on RPG that's out this night. What is Defiance?
Yeah.
That could be a big stinker. Who knows? I have no idea. I'm not on the record saying that. Just, you know, trying to see what we can pick on next, since BioShock Infinite is pretty good.
And I'm tired of talking about SimCity. It's over.
Right? I think we all are.
Yeah.
There's so many games that have come out since then. And, you know, one of the big things – I can't believe you missed this, because this was one of the huge news items of the week. I can't believe you didn't talk about this on your show or anything. You finally got Mass Effect 3.
No, it's sitting on my hard drive. That's it. It's only sitting on my – and the reason it's sitting on my hard drive is just so I could taunt you by never opening
right.
it.
Right. One of these days, we'll be doing a let's play video on the Twitch TV channel, and you won't be able to resist.
maybe when Loki wears the Tingle costume.
Well, that will. He's made it very clear that he wishes people would forget that bet at this point. I think so.
I'm not letting that go away.
I did make an interesting arrangement this week, though. You'll get a kick out of this. I fired up my Final Fantasy XI account again, mm-hmm. and people that watched the Twitch channel probably caught wind of this last night, because you're doing some streaming late in the evening.
I think I saw you get on Steam.
Yeah, well after Understation Live was over. I made a deal to go back, because the expansion for Final Fantasy XI just came out. The game's, 11 years old? And a brand new expansion, they haven't had one in like 5 or 6 years, just came out that adds a couple new classes to the game, like Geomancer and Mystic Knight. So Shane convinced me to reactivate my account, but I made a deal. I said, all right, Shane, I'll reactivate my account for 1 month, but the deal is you have to get Civ 5. Mm-hmm. And he played the demo, and he enjoyed it, and he's going to get Civ 5, so we'll have another person to conquer the world with. But we do need to set up that game.
Yeah, because that's what I've been playing all weekend, actually. I've finally really gotten into Civ 5 and even did some of the scenarios and stuff. I'm like, yeah, I've had this game for like a year and a half, and it was finally this weekend. Was the weekend I'm like, I'm just going to play like 50 hours of Civ this weekend.
Have you been playing single player, just computer AI? Yeah,
just against computer AI. I've been doing like different types of victories and... Mm-hmm. Saying, okay, this time I'm going to go for a diplomatic victory, and this time I'm going to go for a domination and stuff. So, yeah, the multiplayer, it'll be fun, because you can actually set up teams. So, like, we could be on the same team against the AI.
Yeah, so. Yeah. That'll be fun to maybe amp up the difficulty of the computer just one little notch maybe. To make it a little more interesting when it's, you know, cooperative. I'm pretty sure it kicks some butt.
Yeah. So it'll be fun. So why is there no OLR tonight?
There's no OLR tonight because it's Easter, you might have heard, and Loki has some family obligations tonight. And so we thought, you know, we haven't taken a night off in a while, so we'll just kind of go ahead and make it a night off. And then that way we push back episode 500 just a little bit, just so that it's not hugged up against April Fool's Day. And we have more time to figure out what we're going to do.
You're going to be trying to figure out what to do the night of.
That's usually the way it goes. That's how Horde House worked, because we just hit 100 over there this week. So it's a lot of anniversaries coming up on VOG right now. Critical Myth, I think, is hitting 300 episodes really soon. And there's, I'm sure, other ones I'm totally forgetting. Girls Gone Wow will hit 100 within the next few months, within the next month. Understation Alive, I think, has its birthday somewhere in here, too. So it's a busy, busy birthday. And VOG itself.
Yes.
Officially won right around, I think it's right around the same weekend that
it's April 29th.
Nice.
Was our first, that was our first broadcast, and then June 1st was when the website launched.
Right. So hopefully, some more surprises in the next year. I know there's been some talks about some things and expansion, and that's really all I can say right now.
Yep. Trust me, I've been doing way too much research when I've not been playing Civ 5. So yeah, no OLR tonight, no Mass Effect 3 for me ever, and yeah, that's all I got.
There might be some game streaming later, so we have our channel, twitch.tv/OrangeLaunchRadio is the Twitch TV channel, and I do want to give a couple plugs to some other podcasts real quick. Pod Culture here on the network at Voice Geeks Network. They have a new episode tomorrow, and Brad was telling me a little bit about it over message. It's really awesome. It's not an April Fool's thing. It's like a tribute episode they do every year that airs tomorrow. So I really encourage you guys to check it out. It sounds like they've got some great stuff planned. That's 6 Pacific, 9 Eastern here at the VOG Network. This show is not on the Voice Geeks Network, but it involves some people that are on Voice Geeks Network, including myself, Jamie, and Syl from Girls Gone Wow, all on a podcast this week called Obscure Cast. So if you're missing OLR this week, look for that to hit the podcast feeds around, I would assume, Tuesday-ish. It's a British and U.S. collide. It'll be good times.
Cool. Well, I will talk to you guys next week for episode 499. And
can't wait.
Come in and play a Civ game with me or something.
We'll do. Maybe not next weekend because I'm going to be out of town, but we got to set that up. Maybe the big 500 weekend or something. But thanks for having me on, even when we're not live this week.
No problem.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
All right. So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. You can catch us live and interact with the show directly. I believe the interview I'm going to be playing next week is about a game called Sacred Citadel. I think that's the next one that's in the queue there. So it's published by Deep Silver, and talk to him about making that game. You can leave me a voicemail on any topic like Breakman did earlier, or leave a bumper fuse in the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1. You can email me an MP3, just your voice, to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. I'm on Facebook as facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf or Twitter as @BobbyBlackWolf. Or you can use the website BobbyBlackWolf.com. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who doesn't know about it yet. But I could not make the live show work without the help of the chatters, so thank you very much. Dark Tetsuya, DC Nate, Hecht, Misty, Ronma, Rob Roberts, VXJSNXV, DeBlueGuy, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc978, Shadow Next Gen, ActDeft, Azure Edge, Bob Coffee, Breakman, Bird, D5T, Dungeon Buster, Eric RPG, Eshuishi. I bet that's something that's an inside joke for somebody, I guess. Game Guru, GK128, Gripper01, Kazan, Nuxonic, Magic93, Hirschberger, Mako, Matt Q, Melted General, Monster B3, MXT, Raginator, Serendipity, SJ100 Matt, Technus, Tigerclaw, Toagak, Travis Donovan, Zappy, and Zether. So that is it for me. There it is. I lost the outro. Anyway, that's it for me. PAX East was a lot of fun, and there's more games that I saw that we'll talk about in the coming weeks. I'm going to go beat someone up in Civ 5. Bye!
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.